Pastor Jesse, could you shut the switch up on these fans? You won't? Thank you. I've got icicles on my beard here, so come on. Thank you. Let's pray for our young people. Our Father in heaven, I just thank you for this time we can stand before you and worship you. Lord, I think of in the book of Nehemiah, when the walls were built and all the tribes came together to worship, and the scribes stood up and read the Word of God, the children were there. And I pray for our young people today, as well as our adults, that you would speak to us personally, individually, specifically, pointedly, on the things in our lives that need attention. Lord, I pray for myself. I certainly need some attention in my own spiritual makeup. And I surrender myself to you the best I know how. I just pray a double portion of your Spirit as the Word of God goes forth to both the children and the adults. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm a Bible prophecy buff. I like to read about end time events, end time prophecies. And I think one of the biggest questions that arose in my own mind is, where does our nation stand prophetically? Where are we? I mean, there's a lot about Europe, there's a lot about Asia, Russia and the surrounding countries, but where does America stand prophetically? Peter Marshall wrote a book called The Light and the Glory about America's Christian heritage. And he asked several interesting questions that I'm going to read today. He said, what if Columbus's discovering of America had not been accidental at all? He said, what if it was the opening curtain of an extraordinary drama? He said, did God have a special plan for America? What if God dealt with whole nations as he deals with individuals? What if in particular he had a plan for those he would bring to America? A plan which saw this continent as a stage for a new chapter in the drama of mankind's redemption. Now, that was written by Peter Marshall. By the way, I had the opportunity years ago to meet him personally down in Philadelphia. He and I shared a pulpit at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. What a thrill that was for me. Well, you know, I want to, my thesis in this message here today is the sovereignty of God in the founding of America. You know, looking at it from our vantage point, it sure seems like God had a plan for America. You know, we don't have direct references in the Old Testament or the New Testament. There's nowhere you can read in the whole Bible you read about the United States of America or even any country in this hemisphere. But it doesn't discount the fact that in the sovereign purpose of God, He used America in for His redemptive purposes. When you look at this land from history's perspective, I remember looking on the internet and seeing a picture of George Washington kneeling in the snow at Valley Forge, or Lincoln praying during the hour of crisis during the Civil War. You know, America did not become the land of the free and the home of the brave by blind faith. No, I believe this, friend. I believe there's a God in heaven, a benevolent God in heaven, who is looking down at our nation, looking at the hearts of people that formed this country, and began to recognize that here's a group and a core of people that I can use for my redemptive purposes. You know, God has truly blessed America. Amen? You know, if you look at the total population of the world, the United States of America is still less than 5% of the whole global population of the world. But America possesses better than 50% of the world's wealth. Now, that tells me something. You don't measure the spirituality of a country on its global wealth, on its national wealth, but it tells you something, that God has blessed our country. And we are so blessed. We have been blessed more so than any other country in history. Why is it that an American in her short history has been blessed more than even the other empires of the ancient civilizations? You know, in order to understand America's role in end time prophecy, it begs the question, why has America been so blessed? Why have we been so blessed as a country? And I'm going to give you a few reasons. Number one, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that we have been blessed by God as a country because we have been the driving force behind world missions. The United States has provided 3/4 of the missionaries of the world and approximately the same amount in terms of financial support. You know, I was always taught when I was a young pastor in Bible school, taking pastoral theology, you put missions first in your work and God will bless that work. You know, when we first started the church, the first thing my wife and I did, we took on 2 missionaries at $25 a month and we started supporting them. You know why world missions is so important to God? Because lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. When we make lost people our priority, God begins to bless us. You know, we have an opportunity to be blessed this coming month. Just 1 month away is our Vacation Bible School. You know, is Vacation Bible School important to God? You know, if it's important to God, shouldn't it be important to us? It's very important to Him. If it's important to us, then my friends, we ought to invest ourselves in it. Our time, our money, our lives. America has been the launching pad of God's great missionary movement. Here's an interesting thing I've learned. In the aftermath of World War II, Americans started 1,800 missionary agencies. Of those 1,800 missionary agencies, over 350,000 missionaries were sent out. Today, 95% of the world's population has access to the Word of God in their own language. By the way, there's about 5,000 different languages out there in the world. We only think there's a few. No, there's a lot when you go to third world countries. But 95% of the world today has the Scriptures in their own language. Not only that, 95%, roughly speaking, have it through Christian radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts. Why has God blessed us? Because America has been the driving force in global missions. Secondly, another reason I believe God has blessed us as a country is because America has been a friend to the Jew. God made a covenant with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, who's the father of the Jews. He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. You know, and history attests to that promise. The population of the Jews right here in the United States is a little bit less than what it is in the Palestinian area where they reside right now. But we have been so blessed as a nation because we have been a friend to the Jew. I'll tell you what, if you would go back and you would look at our country and you would look at how our country treated the Jews, it's been America that has bailed out the Jews. Back in 1948, when Israel was reinstated as a country, it was America that helped them out. Golden Meir, who was she was a Russian Jew. She came to Wisconsin. She had a big part in America helping the Jews. Even Harry Truman was president at the time. He had a business partner before he was in the presidency. His business partner went to see him personally in the White House in 1948 and pleaded with the president that he would help the Jews. And then it was on. By the way, there were only about 650,000 Jews in Israel at the time. But you know what? We started pumping money and artillery and equipment, and 650,000 Jews were able to overcome 80 million Arab enemies. That is a miracle, my friend, nothing short of David and Goliath. Why has God blessed us? Because we've been the driving force in world missions. Number two, we've been a friend to the Jews. Number three, we've been a free nation. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, my friends, all freedom is related to our relationship to the living God. You see, America is the laboratory where these principles can grow and develop and have been an example to the entire world. America has exported freedom wherever it's gone. You know, you can debate, you can argue over this, whether or not we should have invaded Iraq back in 1991. But I'll tell you one thing we did. We liberated a country that was enslaved by a dictator. 25 million people in Iraq were liberated. And I'm grateful for that. I know they have great issues today. We need to pray for that country. But I believe that country needs what America's been founded on, and that's freedom. Freedom creates the life that you were intended to have from the very, very beginning. Our freedom defies the understanding of the rest of the world. America has learned that that liberty without law is anarchy, that liberty against the law is rebellion, but liberty limited by law has become the cornerstone of civilization. You see, America is a bastion of human liberty. It's a paradise for human liberty. Why do we have droves and droves and droves of immigrants coming up to our southern border trying to get in? You know why? They want to get a part. They want a piece of the pie. You know, with all the criticism we get as a nation, it's interesting that they're all standing in line to get in the front door. They want to be in the place where they can experience the freedom as well. And I believe this, friends. I believe that freedom is a gift from God. We have been blessed as a country because we are a free nation. We've been blessed by God because we've been the driving force behind world missions. And thirdly, because we've been a friend of the Jew. But fourthly, because I believe this country has been blessed because we were founded initially on the Word of God. You cannot deny that at the core of the founding of America were the principles of freedom in God. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." In Proverbs 14, it says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." George Washington, the very first president, in his inaugural address said this. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "God is my witness that it is my constant anxiety and prayer that both myself and this nation should be on the Lord's side." And Benjamin Franklin requested this. He said, "Each day the Constitutional Convention should be opened in a word of prayer." I'll tell you what, this is just the tip of the iceberg, man. I mean, you look at the 52 of the 55 founding fathers of America, they were godly, evangelical, professing Christians. They stood on the Word of God. They stood for God. They knew that we could never be the country, a country of any kind of independence and sovereignty, and without God as our foundation, without the Word of God as our foundation. Another quote by Benjamin Franklin, you might remember this. The longer, he says, I live, the more convincing proofs I see of the truth that God governs the affairs of men. Hey, with the founding fathers, it was God. It's all about God. You know, God's got to birth this country. God's got to sustain us through the battles against England. You know, all you have to do to realize that God is the founder of our country is to visit Washington, D.C. and go around and look at all the engravings that were placed in the buildings in the early days of our country. I ran into a fellow this past week, and we were talking about the problems we have and how America's going downhill. And he said something rather interesting to me. He said, you know what? He said the founding people, fathers of our country, would be alarmed to see that what the civil leaders of today are doing to America. I said, you know what? Our country was founded on the Word of God. I said, our laws come from the Old Testament. He said, no. He says, our laws come from England. I said, maybe that's true too. I said, but the laws from England came from the Old Testament. God is everywhere present. And I'll tell you this, the liberals and the agnostics and the atheists can cry against us all they want. But God is sovereign and has been sovereign in the founding of our country. And it also begs the question, when you look at the sovereignty of God and the founding of America, then how do you explain the silence of the Bible on the future of America? There really is no specific mention of America in the Word of God. Neither of the North Hemisphere, or of North America, or South America. Most modern countries today are not mentioned in the Bible. You know what? We look at our country, and we're still less than 250 years of age. Much younger than the nations that are mentioned in Bible prophecy. It is also true that the ancient prophets were primarily concerned with Israel and the Holy Land and the immediate neighbors all around Israel. When I read the books of Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, everything kind of was around Europe and around these surrounding areas of the Middle East. That's what's involved in some more northern countries of Africa. But I guess the question that has to do with the message today is, does the United States have a place in end time prophecy? To be truthful with you, I'll be honest with you, I wish I could give you a deliberate yes or no. But I have to tell you, I'm not sure. You know why? Because there's nothing specific. If there was something specific, I would stand on it and say, this is what the Word of God says about where the role that America plays in end time prophecy. Now, I'll say this much. There is an allusion of a group of nations in Ezekiel 38 which kind of look like we might be part of it. It speaks about Tarshish, which is the United Kingdom and its colonies. Actually, in Ezekiel, it's called its young lions, but it's a reference to its colonies, and we were once a colony of England. So that might apply, but it's still not specific. Okay, America's not mentioned in the Old Testament or the New Testament. So the question is this. If the United States is not mentioned in the prophetic scriptures, then why isn't it? Are we not a superpower? Have we not been blessed of God? Of course we have. Why would God not refer to the supreme power, superpower nation in the end times? We are it. And by the way, we're on a fast track. getting towards the days when Jesus comes back. I believe we are. But we're not mentioned. Why could God leave a world superpower out of the Old Testament? Well, all I can say is come back next week and I'll give you the answer to that question. Actually, Pastor Jesse's preaching next week. This is a one sermon deal, okay? I got to get it all in. Let me give you the best answer I possibly can. I only have a pea brain when it comes to this stuff, but I'll tell you, I do think long and hard on it. Why isn't America mentioned in the scriptures? Well, here's what other theologians have said. Number one, some think it would be brought into, she would be brought into a coalition with the European countries. Now, that's one of the speculations. It is clear in the book of Daniel that there will be a consolidated power in the West. And it's often referred to as a revived Roman Empire. There's those 10 heads. They're 13, they're whittled down to 10. They're all nations in Europe. And out of those 10 nations, out of the one head, the Antichrist will rise up. The Antichrist comes from the revived Roman Empire or the European Union, as it's known today. This coalition will not be led by America, but will be led by a leader who comes out of the European government. But you know, you stop and think about it. Most U.S. citizens today came from Europe. How many of you? Raise your hand. How many can say, my ancestors came from Europe? Raise your hand. Okay? And some of you are Indians, right? It makes total sense that the United States would be linked to a European alliance. More so with the European alliance than with Russia or Africa or Asia or China. It's very likely that America will be in a formal alliance with Europe for in favor of Israel against the radical Islamic countries of the Middle East. And I think we're seeing the signs of that shaping up as we speak. That's one position. Position number two. Others believe that the U.S. is not an end-time prophecy because America will be invaded by outside forces and weakened to a place where we couldn't participate. You know, I don't know about you, but I see as time goes on, our influence in the world is on the decline. I think we would all agree with that. And if that continues, if that trend continues, then we will not remain to be a major player in the world affairs. You know, it's a known fact that America's always had a thirst for oil, but if we have the inability to get it, then that in our supply is less than our demand, that certainly could have a crippling effect upon our ability to lead the world. I did a Google search on this question. How many Americans fear a nuclear attack by terrorists? Isn't Google great? You just type that question in, it gives you an answer. The answer that Google gave me was about 40%. I guess you'd have to throw that into the mix. Position number three is this. America will be infected with moral decay. You see, the collapse of all major empires of the world can primarily fail not because of outward forces invading them and taking them over. Primarily, all the ancient civilizations of the past have failed in their succeeding themselves, and their sustenance has been because they've been infected with moral corruption. Moral corruption. The empires of Rome, the empires of Greece and Babylon collapsed upon their own corruption and immoral practices. There's a website out there called freedomrepublic.com. And this is what they said. They said, of the nations that have become great and are usually within like a 200-year period, never go beyond 200 years. And if that's true, we're living on borrowed time. During those 200 years, each civilization went through a certain sequence, they said. And it looks kind of like this, if you show it on the screen. They first go through, they're first in bondage, then they have a spiritual awakening. Then thirdly, after they have that spiritual awakening, they have great courage. And fourthly, it leads to liberty. Then the liberty leads to abundance and wealth. The abundance and wealth puts them in a place of complacency. And then from complacency, they go to apathy, a disinterest. And then after apathy and disinterest, they come to a place of dependence. And then the cycle begins all over again, back to bondage. Now, we kind of see that with our nation. We were slaves to England. We had a spiritual awakening. We had men, the early colonists, stood on the Word of God. We had a spiritual revival. By the way, the pastors used to go out and lead in some of these battles in the Revolutionary War. Great courage took place. Liberty took place. And God began to bless them financially, materially. But after they became financially wealthy, there was a complacency that poisoned them. You know, isn't that sad? I mean, when we're blessed as a nation, the Bible says the goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. I mean, hasn't God been good to us today? I mean, just that alone ought to lead us to repentance. But unfortunately, it can lead people to a place of complacency, apathy, and dependence. Now, where do we stand as a country? It's certainly not the first half. It's definitely the last half. And I'll tell you what, friend, I look at how God has judged nations in the past. I look at Israel. I mean, the Old Testament is a marvelous book on Hebrew history. I look at the book of Judges, which we studied in our Faith Bible Institute, and I look at those cycles that God put the nation of Israel through. They went through a season of rebellion. They went through a season of retribution. Then they went through a season of repentance, national repentance, and then national restoration. That cycle took place 7 times over 400 years. And you know what? I don't know how many times it might happen in this nation, but I'm not holding my breath. All I know is God is sovereign. God was sovereign in founding our country. And God is sovereign today. And God can bring us back to where we once were. But I'll tell you what, friends, it all begins at home. It all starts in the church. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, judgment begins in the house of God. So if we're going to see something happen wonderful in our country, it has to start right here, in the church house, and in our own homes. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to pray for our country today. I guess it doesn't really make much difference where we stand prophetically in history and Bible prophecy. But what is important is that we have a right standing with God today, now. And if you're here this morning, friend, I want to tell you, God loves you. God knows you inside and out. God knows your past. He knows what you're thinking. And He knows your future. But you have a large role in your outcome and you being blessed by God, by you getting right with Him today. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago, died for your sins, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He died for your sins. And he died for your sins so you would not be judged, so you could have a home in heaven. And friend, if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure if you were to die today, if you'd go to heaven, say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure today. And all I'm asking is, Pastor, if you would just pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Would you please pray for me? Raise your hand up high. Anybody here like that at all? I'm not sure if I'm a believer. Father in heaven, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for the grace you've given America. I thank you for the long suffering and the mercy you've shown us. And I know this, Lord, that we are living on borrowed time. That, Lord, Satan is the prince and power of the air. And he seeks to make Christians ineffective. And he seeks to steal and rob us of our joy and of our effectiveness. And I pray that this morning, as we look at our nation and we look at the plight it's taken, we see the downward trend and how we have been infected by moral failure and collapse. Lord, that three-letter word, S-E-X, has permeated and inundated the internet, the TV. Lord, please, please forgive our country. Please forgive us, Lord, where we have failed you. And I pray that even right now, as I pray, that our hearts would align themselves with your hearts. That your heart, the heart of Christ, might be deeply ingrained in us. We're thankful that we can have the mind of Christ this morning. And I pray for those that are battling one of those areas such as complacency, apathy, dependence. Lord, our lives are in your hands. And I just pray for your guidance and direction in each individual here today and in this church. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.